Okay, mamas, we are going to talk about screens. I know. It's such a hot topic. You either love them or you hate them or you love to hate them. Now, I'm not in any way, shape, or form a professional psychologist or behaviorist or anything like that. So I'm just going to talk about lowering screen use in your home and in our home and the pros and cons in which I've seen. I get it. The TV is the ultimate distraction. Sometimes it seems that it's the only way I can get anything done or have a complete thought. However, I found that the more I used it as a crutch, the more it controlled me. I heard a teacher complaining about kids and their extreme boredom with learning. She attributed it to screens, especially in teenagers, because they're on their phones from the time they wake up until the time they go to sleep. And then you ask them to put the phone down, and instantly the dopamine pushes out of their little head and they're instantly bored. So bored, it's like a downer. It's actually like you gave them like a downing drug because you've given them so many upping dopamine pushes throughout the day with the blue screen of death. I don't know. And maybe she's right. I mean, I think she has some valid points to that. I know as soon as my 7-year-old puts down, especially when it comes to video games, which we super limit in the house, like 10 to 15 minutes a day, if he did all his chores in a school and so on and so forth. But as soon as he puts it down, the first words out of his mouth every single time, "I'm bored." Have you guys heard this at your house? Oh my gosh. I'm like, of course you're bored. You just put something down. Go find something else. Go be bored. It's okay. I always tell him. I heard a TED talk years ago talking about how boredom is actually vital for our brains. It's where our creative space lives. Well, go be bored. Go create something. Go do. Go imagine. Go be. Of course, he hates that answer. Absolutely hates it. When life was super stressful and I was completely incapable of functioning, I definitely leaned on the screens too much. Even though I would say I was doing my best in the moment that I was, and that I used them in the only way I could possibly do, which was too much, because I needed help from somewhere or someplace, because my brain was just at such max capacity, I couldn't even connect with my kids. And so I used that. But then they got, for lack of a better word, addicted. They started craving that. They want that. They want that show. They want to see it. And they want to see the same episode 100 times. They're like, oh, can we? As soon as they wake up, cartoons. We want cartoons. I don't know. I'm sure many of you have watched Bluey or witnessed Bluey at some point in your parenting career at this point. There's that episode where Bingo brings home Bob Bilby. And it's this little puppet, and he's supposed to take pictures of everything fun he did this weekend and bring it back to the kindergarten and show everybody all the fun things he does with Bob Bilby at home. And that particular weekend, maybe the parents were maxed, or maybe they were just regular parents. And as the kids chanted cartoons, cartoons all day, all night, the parents kept giving in and giving them the cartoons. Of course, the moral of it is at the end, when Bingo flips through the pictures that Mom took of Bob Bilby's weekend on Sunday night, he discovers that all they did was cartoons. And while the book is full of adventures that Bob Bilby has gone on with the rest of his friends, he, of course, will have the most boring entry because all he did was cartoons. But I get it. I get giving into it. I get that complete, just, you're so tired of saying no. And you say no nicely 1,000 times. No, honey. No, not now. Maybe later. No, not now. Maybe later. And now we've come to the point in our household, if you ask for television and it is not television time, or it is not, you have not done what you are supposed to do to earn the television, you will not be able to earn the television for the rest of the day. We've had to put some really hard and fast rules in place in our house. And sometimes not everybody's on board. And sometimes, like yesterday for me, you're just not feeling great. We had this crazy, wonderful, busy weekend. My 3-year-old is turning 4, and all she wanted to see was a baby giraffe. So we went up to visit my sister and see the zoo and the new baby giraffe and all the wonderful things. And in the middle of this, one of my horses choked, which he's fine, by the way. But that night that he choked, right before we went up for our trip. I was checking on him every hour to make sure, you know, the medicine had worked and he was still alive and he was able to swallow whatever piece of hay he had gotten lodged in his esophagus. And then we drove 4 hours, and then we did all the things on the weekend in the city that we can't do in the country. And then we drove back 4 hours and got home at midnight. And then I woke up and I had some riding lessons to teach, and we started homeschool. And by the time the afternoon rolled around after lunch, my body just literally flipped me the bird and shut down. Like, I could not in any way, shape, or form function. And so in trying to put the 2-year-old down for the nap, I allowed the now 4-year-old and 7-year-old to watch more TV than we normally do. And let me tell you, by the end of the night, even though it was just an extra hour to an hour and a half, I'm not 100% sure on my timing. At the end of the night, the sass that was coming out of the 7-year-old's mouth that is not there on the days that he does not watch so much TV. So that, I guess, is my point, is stick to your hard and fast rules. Have grace for yourself if you need a day. I get it. I get it, because we all need a day sometimes. Sometimes we just can't. Anyways, when we first started cutting back screen time, when I started feeling better and I felt like I should start saving my kids from their absolute full-on craving of the television, it was hard. I mean, hard. I mean, just constant asking, constant begging, constant crying, sometimes screaming for the television. And the thing about it is once I got past that initial push of them begging, screaming, crying, fighting for the thing that they craved, they found other things to do. It didn't take that long. The initial push, at least for my kids, was anywhere between 5 and 15 minutes, which 15 minutes seems awful, just absolutely awful when you are being berated by a 2 and 3 or 5-year-old. Awful. But if you hold strong and stick to your ground, they eventually find something to do. And the thing is that oftentimes that thing is creative or imaginative. And some of the things I found were helpful in kind of like weaning off screen time, but still using screen time, were active screen usage, which of course, you know, Go Danny Go is great. I always make my kids do it. They would end up sitting down and watching, and I'd be like, hey, no, if we are going to put this on, we are absolutely doing the motions and you are going to run and jump and do all the things that Danny does. We also got into art. The Art Hub for Kids is a fabulous channel with a dad and his kids, and he draws amazing things and my kids love it. And they're like 5 to 10 minutes long. And it would get them doing something. And then at the end of their picture that they've drawn, you then turn off the TV and then they color it. And then wouldn't you know, they start coloring more. And that creative space was then opened up, right? And so even though we use the screen to watch that YouTube show, it opened up. Another one we love is Mark Rober. He has a few like science at home. He's got tons of super fun ones that are just fun to plug in. However, the science experiments at home are so great because then a lot of the stuff is found in your kitchen. And so then we would go run and do those. And so it would open up that creative space and it would turn off the screen. And so that's kind of how we started, right? That's how we started minimizing the screen. And now, like I said, we have some really hard and fast rules that we've held to for a long time, even through the long summer where we didn't have a lot of schoolwork and we weren't always hanging with friends because our schedules for this year, for some reason, are completely off of our neighbors and little friends in town. We held to that hour to hour and a half screen time. That's it. Now, like I said, my 7-year-old has gotten into video games, which we super limit what he is allowed to play. Obviously, nothing with violence. But we even found that the racing games were too fast for his little brain. We would tell him he could play for 5 to 10 minutes of like Mario Kart, or he likes Sonic, so Sonic Dash or Sonic Racing or whatever it's called. And within 10 minutes, that little boy's brain was just like a pinball machine, and he just so struggled. So we have to go with like the slow games, which right now he's into Minecraft. I don't know how much I enjoy it or agree with it, just because it is, I think, one of the most addicting games for whatever reason. However, he gets 10 minutes towards the end of the day, if he has done all his chores, all his school, and he has not talked back and gotten his, whatever you want to call them, demerits and troubles, strikes, whatever sort of discipline map you're using. And maybe, I don't know, some people might think that's wrong. Maybe they don't want to use a reward system, which is fine. But we found that it works for him. He knows that he can lose it if he does some blatant disobedience. But we also offer redemption in our household, which can be a whole nother topic. So he can always redeem, whether it's an apology or a note or a card or an extra chore, if it was, you know, whatever the offense was, an equal redemption, because I do feel like we should get redemptions in our life. That is what grace is and is for. And, yes. So anyways, that being said, keeping it down to the minimum and keeping it as a privilege, not a necessity, and taking the background noise out of the house where it wasn't a constant drone throughout the afternoon has been so beneficial. And not only are my kids playing independently more, being more creative, being more like attuned to their environment. You know, I'm going to backtrack real quick, and I'm sorry. Scattered brain. However, in school, here we're entering into school time. And absolutely, I think there is a beautiful way. Like today in school, we learned about the River Danube. So we actually watched the Strauss Symphony as it goes through the River Danube, which of course is how he wrote the Blue Danube Waltz. And so it's the whole river, and it's this like beautiful 10-minute show of the river that we're studying. And so I think there's beautiful and wonderful times to add where screens can add a lush or a depth to any sort of situation or environment or education. However, in school, in kindergarten, at the public school, he was on the screen 2+ hours a day in the 7-hour school day. And I remember just sitting there thinking, and then I realized what was happening is he would come home from school and we would go outside and do chores because we had to, because it was, you know, starting to get dark. So we go out, we do the chickens, we do the horses, we do all the things on the farm, which was great that we had that 30 minutes outside, or we'd be able to stop at the playground for days that had longer light and do that running and playing for 30 minutes. But then when I go in to make dinner, I was turning on a TV show for them so that I could make dinner uninterrupted, right? And I obviously did it, so I get it. Because sometimes, as much as wonderful things are to have little chefs in the kitchen, it is often so very hard to get anything done. And if your stress level is already high, it just like sends you over the top, right? So, and I was like, oh my gosh. So if he's doing 2+ hours of screen time in school, and whether this was, again, brain breaks like Go Danny Go or Moose, I can't remember the Moose one, or during quiet time, the teacher would put on a movie, or it was actively learning computer skills and typing however much you can as a kindergartner. And I was like, man, and then he comes home and he gets like an hour while I'm making dinner and setting the table and doing the last minute cleaning. This kid, his 5-year-old kid, is getting 3-4 hours of screen time a day. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, which actually made me really mad because in my opinion, screen time is like a treasure for parents, specifically whichever parent is at home, because it is a beautiful thing when you can turn that on and your kids are wholly sucked into it, and you can walk away and you can do whatever you need to do, whether it's getting some work done or cleaning the kitchen or whatever it needs to be done that's uninterrupted, or even just have like a solid thought or a 10-minute nap. I get it. So I was like, this teacher, bless her, is stealing my gems. It's she's stealing my screen time away. And it was so frustrating to me. I was like, how dare you? And then, of course, most recently, it was Finland or Denmark. They have taken out screens entirely from school. This is like, I think the first year they've been doing research on it in the past like 3 to 5 years. And they've decided that retention is down, education is down, their numbers are down. And even though it says, oh, look, we're learning so much through the internet and the access and all the things, the retention and the education is actually lowering. And so they're saying no more screens. We're going back to paper and pencil. So know that, again, I'm not a professional, so I haven't done any of these studies personally myself, but I trust some of these people who have. Know that you're doing a good thing when your kid is begging you for the screen for the next 15 minutes when you're telling him that you're changing the system. I get it. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. But I promise you the outcome, at least what I've seen in my family, has been totally worth it. And it wasn't hard for terribly long. Everybody adjusted fairly quickly. And the other benefit that I've seen, besides the independent play, the creativity, and so on and so forth, is the outside time. Now, here we live in a beautiful place, and I would say probably 85 to 90% of our days are what people would consider perfect weather. There is a small percentage that happens during the winter and the wind season that is atrocious, and I get it. We don't want to be outside on those days. But I was finding as my kids were becoming more and more on the screen, they were going less and less outside. And I'm like, here, we live on a ranch. The kids should be craving and loving, begging and asking for the outside. That's how I grew up. We had a small, like, I guess you would call it now a hobby farm. We had ducks and bunnies. We didn't have any large livestock. We had 5 acres in the mountains of New Jersey. Wouldn't you believe it? But I just remember always being outside and always playing and hiking and exploring. So here we have 42 acres, literally in like mountain playground. And I realize some of my kids are too young to go. All my kids really are too young to go off exploring too far. But they're not chasing grasshoppers and hoarding toads and looking for salamanders under rocks. They're bored. They're bored and they don't know what to do with their boredom. But by cutting back on the screen time and winning the battle and holding your ground calmly as you can and firmly, now my kids are outside. And you know what? They're outside every single night riding their bikes back and forth across the sidewalk that's in front of our houses. And it's incredible. The desire for the outside time. Now, I will definitely do another podcast on the beauty of outdoors and the healing that nature brings to humans, adults, and children in nature. But having that encouragement of these kiddos and just seeing it happen naturally, growing so that they want the outside, the less their bodies have the artificial. So, this is my tip for you today. Come up with a plan. Know the plan, hold the plan, get your partner on the plan, and know that the shift will be hard, but the benefit will be worth it. There will be more peace, less yelling, less attitude, less sass, and all in all, less boredom, because there will be more creativity, more invention, more outside. I hope you all have a beautiful day, and I hope that my tip of the day gave you a little step in thriving as mama.